We got to get working now. Let's go. Hey, first.
Live from the AM 1300 The Zone studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Friday Night Countdown. Everything high school football in Central Texas. Let's get to it. Here's your host from Texas Sports Monthly, Russell Dowden.
All right, welcome to the Friday Night Countdown. We are locked in for some Friday Night Football once again this week, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How about yourself?
Good. Looking forward to a Westlake game versus Hayes tonight.
Oh, man, can't wait. Big game, big game.
Yeah, there's a couple of big ones this week that are with district online.
Yeah, you know, I feel like every district has one big game, one solid game to look at. In 13-6A, we got Cedar Ridge at Round Rock. Georgetown is playing at Manor in 15-11A Division One. Driving Springs at Seguin, both 4-0, district title possibly on the line, sort of. We've said that with Driving Springs now multiple times. We were like, Driving Springs McCallum, district on the line.
Driving Springs, LBJ. Yeah, I thought that was going to be a closer game, the LBJ one.
Seguin's been very surprising this year. Back-to-back 2-8 seasons, but in their third year under Travis Bush, really turning the corner. They're 5-2, 4-0 in league play. And then in the 5A Division II District 13, we got Bastrop at Brenham. Both of those teams a game behind Glenn in what is probably the wackiest district in Central Texas right now. The district that we just don't even know
who's on top. We don't know who's on top of that.
Well, Glenn's on top. Glenn's on top at 4-0. Bastrop and Brenham at 3-1, and then Cedar Creek, Eastview, and Elgin all at 2-2. And everyone's just kind of beating everyone right now. Tough to say, you know, what's going to happen week in, week out, you know. And a lot of crazy games, a lot of funky games, a lot of comebacks.
Well, congratulations to that Leander Glenn team in their first year as a varsity program. I didn't realize they were 4-0 in district play.
Yeah, you know, they were definitely helped by the 5A split. You know, 5A traditionally didn't get split up until the playoffs. They changed it this year the way it split in the preseason. Which is really helping out all those schools. Like Bastrop last year, you know, got smacked in the district with Hutto and Georgetown and Cedar Park.
That's right.
And without having to play those schools, that helps out. But yeah, Glenn, you know, Leander schools seem to do well. You know, Cedar Park was a school that didn't take long to get going. Mm-hmm. Who was the other Cedar Park school that got off to a really good start? Or Vandegrift also.
Vandegrift
got off to a really good start. So, you know, that just seems to be a talent-rich area where schools are able to strike pretty quickly. And their coach, Rob Schoenfeld, was actually a OC with Cedar Park previously. So he knows how to
build a
winning
program.
Was he
part of that 2012 program in 2012?
Yes, I think he was. And I think for 2015, he was the OC. So I think he was part of both. I'm not sure if he was part. He was definitely part of 2015. I'm not sure if he was part of 2012, actually. But yeah, the big game, though, is Hayes at Westlake. Hayes, 7-0 for the first time since 2005. That perfect season was spoiled by Westlake in a game that I was at, actually. That was my senior year of high school at Westlake, and that was one heck of a game. Can I take you into the time machine real quick, Russell?
take us back at the time machine.
So it was my senior year of high school. I was 17 years old. And, you know, Westlake had a solid team. Nick Foles was our quarterback. It was his junior year. And we met Hayes in the final week of the season in a de facto district championship game. We were both undefeated in league play. The game was down in Buda at Bob Shelton Stadium. Shaps were down 30-17 with roughly 4 minutes to go. And we go touchdown, onside kick, touchdown to win the game.
Are
Nick
you
Foles
serious?
Throwing back-to-back touchdown passes. Both touchdown passes in the final 3 minutes. Just an insane game.
So what was the final score in that
31-30.
Oh, my 31-30. God.
31-30. And I have a DVD of this game. I actually have a DVD. I watched it last year. I was going to watch it this week, but I just was too busy. Didn't have time to do it. But before I went to my first game of the season, I actually spent the day watching this game. And it was a classic. It's one, you know, I've been to a lot of great games, Russell, and this is one of the greatest games I've ever been to. So to see Hayes and Westlake having the meaning it does again, you know, is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome to see.
I'd like to think that this would be a close game, but I mean, Westlake is just beat up on everybody they played.
Yeah, in league play, their defense has just been stifling. They've yet to allow 4 yards per carry in a single game all season. Okay, they're allowing just 69.3 rushing yards per game. The most they've given up was 158 to Del Valle, and that was on 47 carries. The most total yards they've given up is 227. It's the most total yards they've given up in a single game.
Okay, I bet that their rushing defense is has less yards than the total defense that they've given up in the total offense in the game, that 227.
I'd
like to know, wonder that you have that stat, what their rushing defense is for the season?
Yeah, it's 69.3 rushing yards per game. That's what they're giving up per games. And then 166 on the season for total yards, 3.1 yards per play. But Hayes runs the ball really well. But that's the thing. They haven't faced a defensive line like Westlake this year. I mean, we saw that against Lake Travis.
Yeah.
We saw what they did to the Cavs. You know, you don't do that to the – no one does that to the Cavs. Allen didn't even do that to the Cavs in the state championship game last year.
You know, I was talking to Trey Dolezal, an attorney that's out there from Westlake. Trey himself played there for Westlake in 83.
Okay.
And I was talking with Trey yesterday, and just in case he's listening, but he said that, you know, that game against Lake Travis – there was really two fluke plays.
It was.
That, you know, those two touchdowns that they got were...
Yeah, it was a kick return and a flea flicker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when Lake Travis tried running their basic stuff against Westlake, the Chaps really didn't give up anything at all, you know? And it was really the quarter... They are getting some yards early in the second half on some of the quarterback run game. They're actually running a funny formation where they had six linemen on the field. Like, they had a tight end who was actually a lineman, and they're just running quarterback draws with Hudson Card. But then Card fumbled, and so that didn't work out. This is a great game. I mean, Hayes, you know, they're running that old slot T with Les Goad, and Les Goad is just one heck of a coach. What he's been able to do with the Rebels this year. I mean, he was at Geronimo Navarro for 11 seasons, won five district titles, all-time winningest coach in Panther history, and he's brought some pride back to this Hayes program. Their stats are a little incomplete, but, you know, they're just going to run that ball. They're going to run that ball. You'll see Xavier Green. You'll see Sam Scott. You'll see Nash Danford, Martin Schumacher, Quayshawn Crupper, and Devin Hayes. The quarterback is Xavier Martin. He's a run threat, of course, as always in these kind of offenses, but he'll throw it on occasion. He's been pretty successful through the year. He's only attempted 47 passes, but he's completed 30 of them for 467 yards and two touchdowns. And again, you know, Les Goad run that slot T. He learned it from Bruce Bush at Gregory Portland way back in the day. I think I said this on a previous show, but he was the guy who installed it at Liberty Hill way back in the day under Jerry Vance. He was Jerry Vance's offensive coordinator that helped put that offense in place. And it's kind of one of those deals where it's like you can hire one of Gary Patterson's defensive assistants and try to run his 4-2-5 defense, but if you don't have Gary Patterson, it's not gonna work the same.
Not without Gary.
Yeah.
Well, that coaching staff that Coach Goad has been, those were guys, some of his old guys, right?
Yeah, he was able to bring quite a few of the guys over from Navarro, and then a few of them are just guys that he kept on board at Hayes, and they're just doing a great job. And it's great to see this game just be a big one again. You know, they actually split apart from Westlake after that 2005 season and didn't play a district game again until 2014. Unfortunately, Hayes was just not the same program at that point. Westlake has won the last four matchups by an average score of 45-12. The game got a little closer last year. It was 34-24 last season. So we'll see what Hayes has. I mean, Hayes is 7-0, but you also have to take into account that three of those wins were just total nail-biters. I mean, games that went down to the final second. They beat Dripping Springs on a blocked extra point right before the regulation. They beat Bowie by a yard.
They beat
Austin High on a missed two-point conversion. And under the idea that it's a game of inches, Hayes could be 4-3 very... I don't like doing that. But I just think that's the truth. It's just something you have to be honest about.
And that was against a Bowie team that got destroyed by...
Yeah, they've had a lot of injuries. Westlake. Yeah.
They're banged up.
Well, they haven't played Westlake yet. Yeah, but they got destroyed by Lake Travis.
Lake Travis was destroyed them out there.
Hayes defensively is giving up 22.4 points per game. Senior defensive back Jaden Bielazowski had the big stop against Bowie, and Alex Harks had the block kick versus Dripping Springs.
Can you say that last name again?
Harks?
No, the other one.
Bielazowski. I don't know, man. I don't even know, dude. Don't even.
That's all right.
Some of these last names. I'm glad I have a basic last name, Steven Ryan. Although I wish my middle name was cooler. You know my middle name?
What's that?
Michael. You know, just three first names. You know, it's my dad's name, so I guess that's cool. But
well, two of them are saints.
Yeah, is that right?
I think saints. Oh. They're Saint Stephen.
Yeah, there's a saint. I mean, Saint. I know Saint Stephen. I don't know
no
what
Catholic,
the saints are.
But...
Yeah, I'm Jewish. I don't even know any of that stuff.
Let's go back to your Jew fro in high school.
Oh. You know, I can show you that DVD of the game. I had the Jew fro and I was skin and bones, dude. Skin and bones back then, even skinnier than I was now. But Westlake, you know, I think the most impressive part about Westlake this year to me has been Tripp Graham. You know, I talked to Todd Dodge before the season and, you know, I asked him about the ground game. You know, they had Nakia Watson last year. And that was a big part of their offense and just their team. And he told me, you know, Steven, we're not going to have another 1,900-yard rusher this year like Nakia Watson. But Tripp Graham is on pace for 1,881 yards.
Right?
So
he was when you did the coach's interview with him on the coach's corner week one, he stated that
he said he was one of the ones
to watch for.
He was
this
one
year.
Of the kids who he felt like was having great fall camp. And he plays a lot like Nakia. He plays with a physicality. I mean, the kid played defense last year. He was a defensive lineman / linebacker. So you know, he's got that defensive, that physical mindset to the way he runs, and you saw that against Lake Travis a few weeks ago. He ran the ball like 29 times in that game. And he only picked up 70 something yards, but just, you could tell he was just wearing on the defense. You know, he's the kind of guy, he doesn't even have to gain a lot of yards. Like just the way he brings it, you know, is going to wear down a defense as the game goes on. But he has 878 yards and 8 touchdowns so far on the season. And, it's been big for them. You know, like it's allowed them, to not put too much pressure on Taylor Anderson's arm, you know, and it allows Taylor Anderson to get big yards in the ground game. I mean, he rushed for 160 yards against Lake Travis. He had 2 touchdown runs, a 60-yarder and a 29-yarder, and a big part of that was because Lake Travis was keying so much on Tripp Graham late in the game, because that's what they had been seeing so much already of.
What do you think Tripp will run for tonight against Hayes' defense?
Ooh, I think he could have a big game, man. I think I'll put him at 186. Just gonna
186.
I'm gonna throw that number out there. Yeah, I'm not sure if Hayes is really ready for what they're gonna see tonight. I mean, kudos for them for getting to where they are, 7-0, 5-0 in district. But I don't think they're ready for this, man. And this Westlake offensive line also seems to be growing into its own as the year goes on. Blake Webster at center leads the offensive line. He's one of the best in the city. And then, you know, Anderson, again, you got to respect Anderson, too. He's 1,000 yards passing, 500 yards rushing, 8.1 yards per play. Penny Baker and Mason Mangum, threats on the outside.
Yeah.
Penny Baker has 58 catches for 541 yards, 9 touchdowns. Mangum, 28 catches, 387 yards, 7 touchdowns. So, man. But Hayes is 7-0. I mean, we can't count them out. We cannot count them out. And, you know, they got quality wins. They started the year with wins against Dripping Springs, who won their district last year, and San Marcos, who won their district last year, although I don't think the Rattlers are the same team they were last year.
They lost a lot of studs on that team.
They lost a lot of guys. But this will be a good game. And again, I'm just so glad to see these two teams playing in a big game. That game, my senior year, that was one of the best games I've ever been to. We actually stormed Bob Shelton Stadium after that game.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, people thought it was over. People thought, my friends wanted to leave. My friends, no joke, they wanted to leave. And I was like, no. We're not. We got the ball. All we need is a touchdown, an onside kick, and a touchdown. And Steve, that never happens. Well, it happened, all right?
Coach, let's go. And, of course, it's your week's Coach's Corner this week coming out of our first break tonight. So we'll go into that. And then we got another interview that you did late last week. You got an interview done with
Chase Griffin.
Chase Griffin. So yeah. that's cool. We got an interview with Chase and get his thoughts on the season. They are now, what, 7-0?
Yeah, well, they beat Pflugerville last night. I think they might, yeah, 7-0.
They're what, 7 wins
canceled.
Now that after
the
that
canceled, yeah.
After that big win there. So we'll do Coach's Corner here after the break and talk some more high school football and update you guys on these games tonight. It's the Friday Night Countdown right here on The Zone. We'll be right back. Start living rough in Rough Hollow, voted Austin's best master planned community 2 years in a row. Rough Hollow stretches along the Lake Travis shoreline and offers residents award-winning amenities, including access to a prestigious yacht club and marina, featuring 22 unique neighborhoods and semi-custom and custom homes starting in the 300s. Rough Hollow makes it easy to find the home of your dreams in a lakeside community. Discover the rough life at roughhollowlakeway.com.
The Friday Night Countdown is sponsored by Absolute Propane, offering cylinder filling station, propane cylinder transportation, storage, and use. Absolute honesty, absolute integrity, absolute passion, absolute propane, and all that we do. That's Absolute Propane. Visit online at absolutepropane.com. Go Roberts Power Wash is a proud sponsor of Texas high school football. Specializing in residential driveways, walkways, solar panels, pools, cars, boats, fences, gutters, and grills. Commercially, Go Roberts Power Wash also supports parking lots, sidewalks, patios, fences, roof gutters, marinas, boats, cars, and more. Visit online at GoRobertsPowerWash.com. That's GoRobertsPowerWash.com. Jason's Deli Westlake welcomes you every day at 3300 Bee Caves Road. It serves bigger choices of better food for all four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and football. Feeding school spirit, it's a family thing. Visit jasonsdeli.com.
Someday, you'll be chatting around a large granite island. Someday, you'll have that home with an open floor plan and an outdoor fireplace. Someday. Wait, why can't someday be today? At Dries Custom Homes, our sales event is here. Homes in the Austin area from $400,000 to $1 million. Visit DriesHomes.com.
The Coach's Corner.
Gonna learn today.
Sponsored by Texas Sports Monthly.
Hey, y'all. This is Steven Ryan. This week I got Les Goad of Hayes. Coach, your first year at Hayes has gotten off to a great start. You opened the season with wins against San Marcos and Dripping Springs, who both won district championships last year. And with tight victories against league mates Bowie and Austin High, y'all sit 7-0 going into the big game against Westlake. Why do you think the transition to your head coaching scheme and style has gone so well thus far?
Well, I just got to give a tribute to the hard work of the kids. They've really bought into what we're trying to do and have worked real hard. We have a big senior class that just has some quality individuals and good leadership there. I think one of the other factors, I was able to bring a lot of strong coaches with me that have been with me for several years, and so we're all familiar with each other, and they do a great job of teaching. But other than that, we just feel real fortunate to have been able to get by some of the teams that we played. We had three nail-biters, so to be undefeated right now, we feel very fortunate.
As it has at previous stops, your slot T offense is churning out a ton of rushing yards without throwing too many passes, but y'all haven't played a defense like Westlake yet. How much more difficult will it be to run the ball against a front seven like the one Westlake has, and how do you feel about that matchup in general?
Well, we know that they're very physical team up front. They haven't given up very many points this year, so we know we've got our work cut out for us. Thank goodness it was a later in the season matchup, so that maybe we've been able to develop some of the other phases of our game, but only time will tell on that. But we know it's going to be a huge challenge. We are going to have to win some battles in the trenches, but we may have to make some things up a little bit more than what we've been used to. We have great respect for Westlake, and their defense is second to none.
Coach, that's all we got. Thanks for coming on, and good luck on Friday.
The Coach's Corner, sponsored by Texas Sports Monthly. Let's get back to the AM 1300 The Zone Studios and your host, Russell Dowden.
All right, nice job with head coach Les Goad of Hayes. And you had a stat you wanted to mention before the break.
One more fun fact. Back to the time machine. Doodaloo, 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 doodaloo. So we talked about how Westlake beat Hayes in 2005. In 2003, though, was the last time Hayes beat Westlake, and that snapped Westlake's what was then a state record 71-game district win streak. Westlake did not lose a league game from 1990 to 2003, and that win by Hayes snapped what was then the state record. That has since been passed by Aledo, actually. Aledo passed that record last year. But,
That goes back to Ebby Neptune era.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I mean, he was the AD. Derek Long was the head coach that year.
1990?
Oh, 1990. Oh, yeah.
That was way back when.
Right, yeah, 1990. Well, no, Schroeder was head coach in 90, was he?
Maybe he was.
I could be wrong.
We started, my dad used to do the Westlake football history book with Bill Martin then, and they, every year the school had a history book that they would do, and it would research all of the...
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That was cool stuff back, you know, that was in the 90s, early 90s.
Hey, let me know about that. I love my sports history.
You need to get your hands on one of my dad's old books.
I am such a sports history nerd that when I went down to Harlingen, I read a book called Border Ball, which is the entire history of Rio Grande Valley High School football. 480 pages of Rio Grande Valley High School football, man.
They've had some championships down there in, well, in the last state 4A, 3A.
The last state title was like 1960, and it was Donna.
Oh, wow.
And then San Benito went to a state title in 62. No, we'll get to Valley team. When we get to Valley Week in the playoffs, I'll have a whole long thing about Rio Grande Valley football.
And that's just so weird. You and I live down there.
That is very random.
We were both in meetings. But did you know media down there?
Did you know Greg Selber down there? Because he was the one that wrote Border Ball. He was a writer for the Star back in the 90s.
Really?
He's a professor at UTRGV now.
Oh, wow.
He wrote that book. And if you care about Rio Grande Valley High School. See, I read it because I feel like it's important to have a historical perspective of anything you're talking about. Really in anything. Not just sports, but anything. And so I figured reading this book would help me be a good writer in the Rio Grande Valley. But anyways, we got some other big games to talk about. Let's get to that.
Yeah, let's get to the Bastrop Brenhams tonight.
Yes, that is in the Wild and Wacky Class 5A District 13 Division 2. So Bastrop sitting at 5-2, 3-1 district. Brenham 4-3, 3-1 district. Both a game behind Glenn. Bastrop, you know, both these teams like to run the ball. Bastrop with senior running back Jaquay Cretton. He has 657 yards and 9 touchdowns. He got off to a little slow start this season, but once district play got going, man, he's been unstoppable. Mm-hmm. 628 yards and 7 touchdowns in 4 district games. He is averaging 157 yards per game and 6 yards per carry. He's hit 100 yards in each of those 4 district contests and has had 24-plus carries. So they're feeding the ball, and he is producing. Their quarterback, Desmond Young, he's a dual threat, has rushed for 369 yards and 3 touchdowns, and also has thrown for 899 yards on a 53.5% completion percentage with 12 touchdowns and 2 picks. Defensively, they got a junior outside linebacker named Tyron Smith, a 6'1", 180-pound guy with 42 tackles, 7 tackles for a loss, 1 sack. Their biggest havoc maker, though, is senior defensive end Simeon Thompson. He has 12 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks, 33 tackles. It is a Bastrop team. It's pretty experienced. They returned 16 starters from last season. And like I said earlier in the show, they're benefiting from the split. You know, 5A, last year they were playing with Hutto, Georgetown, Cedar Park, schools that had upwards to 50% more students than them. This year they're playing, you know, more in their weight class. And again, that experience, I think, has really done wonders for them. Brenham, meanwhile, they're under a new head coach, Elliot Allen. He replaced the legendary Greg West.
I saw that, Coach Allen's. And then what's the Hall of Honor? That's the night tonight, that game. It's being called Hall of Honor, like senior night.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I don't know what Hall of Honor is.
But I have no idea what that is either.
I had him in my notes, sorry.
But I do know Brenham is the home of Blue Bell Ice Cream. So
this much is true.
Hopefully. And also, I believe Blinn Junior College.
That's right.
Plays football. They have campuses in College Station and Brenham. The football team, though, is based out of Brenham. It's where Cam Newton played his JUCO ball before going to Auburn and winning a national championship. They've had a lot of good teams. And I think Dennis Franchione's son was actually the head coach at that time.
At Brenham?
At Blinn Junior College. Blinn Junior College, yeah. But yeah, Brenham, you know, they got off to a slow start. You know, Greg West was a slot T guy, and Elliot Allen is trying to bring them into more of a balanced thing. And, you know, they started off 1-3 with a loss to Waller, which is not a team they're used to losing to. But they've won 3 in a row since then. They had that big comeback against Eastview, and that's really sparked them. Pretty dominant in wins against Marble Falls and Elgin the last 2 weeks. Beat Marble Falls 41-21.
So they're 4-3?
Yes, they're 4-3. Senior running back Tyree Jackson has really taken off in those last 2 games. He rushed for 277 yards and 1 touchdown on 25 carries against Elgin and had 136 and 2 scores on 16 totes versus Marble Falls. For Brenham, it's all about that run game. In those first 4 games where they struggled, they didn't hit 4 yards per carry in either of those 4 games. They've been above that threshold in each of their last three wins. So for both these teams, it's really going to be about run that ball. You know, we're going back in time. Time machine, run the ball. All right, let's stop doing the time machine thing. That's the third time.
Game, we got Cedar Ridge and Round Rock tonight. That's kind of an interesting matchup in that is that the wacky district?
Well, that is 6A.
6A, yeah.
Sort of wacky. I guess you could call it wacky. I mean, everything in high school football is wacky, let's be real. But Round Rock got a big win against McNeil last week, 43-7. Best defensive performance of the season for the Dragons. They held the Mavericks to 197 yards on 41 plays. That's big for them because defensively they've been really leaky this year and last year. Last
final
year was score even worse.
Was the final? I've been to that game a few times.
It was 43-7 last week against McNeil. Ryan O'Keefe, their amazing quarterback, rushed for 203 yards and three touchdowns on 21 carries. And you know they've been doing this thing. I brought this up where they bring in sophomore Seth Ford as a situational quarterback, and it's really working for him. Seth Ford was 7 of 9 for 51 yards in that game, and who's really benefiting from that is Colin Sullivan. He had 4 catches for 66 yards in that contest. Now Sullivan, he's a junior. He's a guy that's getting a lot of recruiting attention, but really just isn't putting up numbers because Round Rock just isn't really a throwing team. In his first 4 games, he only had 8 catches for 104 yards. In his last 3, though, he's averaging 5 catches for 62 yards. So he's a guy who's really benefiting from this new wrinkle Round Rock has put in their offense. Cedar Ridge won this game last year, 48-28. They won 51-43 the year before that. Now, Cedar Ridge is a team, defensively, they're giving up 22.3 points per game. They got an edge rusher, aptly named Edgerrin Dillard Williams, with 49 tackles, 13 tackles for a loss, 7 sacks, and 10 quarterback hurries. He's a Texas State commit. He was the one returning starter on that defense. That was one of the best defenses in all of Austin last year. And I think now, you know, the rest of the defense is really catching up to Edge. You know, but early in the season, it was like they had him, but everyone else was still kind of learning their roles. Now that we're into week 9, you can see when you watch the Raiders play, they're just a lot more comfortable at their other spots. Sophomore linebacker Brett Hargrove has 42 tackles and 3 tackles for a loss. And senior outside linebacker Ryan Canfield has 48 tackles, 4 tackles for a loss, and had a scoop and score touchdown versus Vista Ridge last week. You know, Cedar Ridge had that big win against Hendrickson 2 weeks ago, won 28-21. They led that game 28-7 going into the fourth quarter. Deuce Vaughn had 14 carries for 127 yards and 1 touchdown in the game. And Jalen Ellis, 10 grabs for 225 yards and 2 touchdowns. And I didn't see this game, but apparently he had this amazing catch in the second quarter. It was on 4th down, back corner of the end zone, draped by the defense, and just one of those make a play, son, type plays, you know. One of those plays that not everyone can do. You know, he's a guy, he's a Baylor commit right now, but he's openly said he's still kind of taking other offers, you know. I'm pretty sure that if a Texas offer comes, he's going to Texas. But he's also looking at Michigan and some other schools. Cal, I think, was on his list. So he's a guy, you know, they're mostly a running team, but he was huge for him against Hendrickson. And something tells me he's going to have another big game tonight, and he's going to need to have a big game because Round Rock should be able to keep up with Cedar Ridge. This is going to be a really high-scoring game. If you like fireworks, there's going to be a ton of them.
What was the result of the Round Rock-Vandergrift game?
That was a very close game. Round Rock almost knocked off. Vandergrift won.
They won that game, but barely.
Barely, yeah. They had a late touchdown drive to go ahead. And on that touchdown drive, the Vipers had to convert 3 4th downs on that final touchdown drive, and they were just able to gut it out, and it was a 4th down touchdown run by Isaiah Smallwood that won the game.
Well, Coach Sanders and that Viper team, they are looking great. They've got a bye this week, Steve, and then they've got Leander and Stony Point to wrap up the season, but they're in the driving seat in that district.
District. I think they pretty much got it wrapped up. I mean, they're 6-0 in district, 8-0 in league play. They beat Cedar Ridge, they beat Round Rock, they beat Hendrickson. Westwood gave them a really good game last
week.
Well,
who's wrapping up second and third spots for
playoffs?
Well,
that's what the Cedar Ridge Round Rock game
that's
will be
really
about. Those two teams are 4-1 in league play, so they'll be playing for second place. And then Hendrickson right now is tied with McNeil at 3-2 for fourth place. So we'll see how those two teams finish up.
Okay, and then we will move on to Georgetown Manor. That's kind of a similar situation in that district where both those teams are fighting their way for the maybe that third
Maynard,
or fourth spot.
I mean, Maynard might have bigger aspirations. They're 3-0 in district right now, but they still have to play Georgetown, Cedar Park, and Hutto. So, you know, this is the first of that three-game stretch. But Maynard's really playing some defense, man. They pummeled Pflugerville 38-7 last week. Taj Brooks had 22 carries, 140 yards, and two touchdowns. Levante Benford had eight carries for 130 yards, three touchdowns. We talked a lot about Brooks, but Benford is another key part of their offense. What they like to do a lot is they'll go in the shotgun with three wide, and they'll have Brooks on one side of the quarterback, Benford on the other side of the quarterback, and you know they'll just hand it off to one of the two of those guys. You know, Brooks will get more of the carries, but Benford will get his touches too. He's a 5'8", 165-pound sophomore, but the kid can really scoot. He also returns kicks. And these two, they do a great job blocking for one another. They'll do a lot of fake to Brooks, then give it to Benford, fake to Benford, then give it to Brooks. These two guys are very compatible and very key to what the Mustangs do offensively. But defense, though, is this team's calling card. They are giving up just 8 points per game in district play. They gave up just 87 yards on 40 plays of the Pflugerville Panthers last week. We've talked about their defensive line. Princely, is another bad name. I don't think I've gotten this name right all year. Princey Umanmialin. Just going to say it. That's how it is. Someone correct me. Someone please correct
me. That sounds good to me, bro.
He's a 6'5", 240-pound force in the middle, and he's also got some speed. I mean, he'll get penetration on the interior of the line, and then he'll chase you down if you run to the sideline on him, because he's a guy, and we've talked about him. He's offers from Texas, really? Oklahoma, TCU. He's gonna be playing big boy football at the next level. Also, senior defensive end Trajan Lewis, 6'4", 225. But one guy I haven't brought up is in the secondary. Jeremy Langston is a senior safety transferred in from Lubbock Monterey this offseason. He was a first team all district performer up in the 806 last season, had 7 interceptions for Lubbock Monterey. He stands 6'1", 175. He has 3 picks this year.
Nice.
A forced fumble, a great tackler, and he had a pick 6 of Grant Gunnell in the St. Pius game earlier this year. St. Pius, one of the private schools. Gunnell last week set the all-time record for passing yardage in Texas high school football. He's an Arizona commit who's been starting since his freshman year. And this Langston kid pick sixed him. All right. I don't know how many other people have pick sixed Grant Gunnell, but Langston's done it. And so he gives them a playmaker on the back end. And this is just a program that's really coming into its own under head coach Jimmy Mitchell. They were 2-8 2 years ago, 5-6 last year. Both those years were at 6A. They've benefited from a drop down to 5A, which is really where Maynard had been playing for most of their history. I mean, those last 2 years at 6A were their only 2 years at the highest classifications. And they were a lot better than that 5-6 record even showed. They blew fourth quarter leads to Bowie and San Marcos. They could have won that district if they hold on to both those wins, because those are the two teams that basically competed for the district championship last year. Jimmy Mitchell is a longtime head coach. He was at Beeville before he was at Maynard. The overall record at Beeville looks pretty bad. It was 7-24, but he was 0-10 in that first season and then got them to the playoffs in their third and his final year there before moving on to Maynard. And before there, he was 91-36 at 11 seasons at Sinton and Sealy. He twice took Sinton to the state quarterfinals or regional finals, whatever you want to call them. Same thing. Guy has a big defensive background. His brother is actually a defensive coordinator. They're about that 4-2-5, which I think in the spread era of the spread, 4-2-5 is the way to go. I kind of think it's that we even talk about 4-3 and 3-4 defenses. Because, like, I'm pretty sure everyone's running, like, 5 defensive backs on
the
majority of plays.
I like seeing the 5 DBs back there, though.
Well, you have to.
You got
to
cover these kids.
If you're not, it just, the terminology is just silly. I mean, we should call it 3 defensive linemen or 4 defensive linemen, not 4-3-3-4. No one's really running. I mean, even in the NFL, majority of teams are running a nickel package nowadays.
Yeah,
it's not uncommon
to see the nickel out there. That game tonight, Steve, at Mustang Stadium.
Yes, and Georgetown, meanwhile, we talked about how Maynard pummeled Pflugerville 38-7. Georgetown only beat Pflugerville 28-17. So Transitive Property says Maynard is the favorite in this game. The big key for Maynard is going to be limiting big plays. Georgetown
sounds like their defense is tough.
Yeah, they got a great defense, but if they give up a few big plays, that might give Georgetown what they need, and that's what the Eagles like to do. Their wide receiver Noah Drum is their big play guy. He has 47 catches for 502 yards and 6 touchdowns on the year. He got injured on the first play of last week's game, so I do not know what his status is for tonight. But he got hurt, and it didn't really matter because Dylan Cahill came in and had 7 catches for 144 yards and 1 touchdown. He's got 31 grabs for 418 yards and 4 touchdowns on the season. So that's going to be the key for Maynard. I think if they can keep those big plays and keep the kind of like how we talked about Lake Travis, you know, how they had those two fluky touchdowns, mm-hmm. but when they were just playing them straight up and trying to play them honest, they didn't really get anything. I think Maynard's going to do a fine job at limiting Georgetown when they're trying to play him honest. But I think the Eagles, they're going to have some trick plays. They're going to be going deep quite a bit in this game. And that's where Maynard has to shut that
down. And
they're
4-3. Both teams are
4-3. Georgetown 1-2 in district play. Maynard 3-0 in district play. But that's very much a product of schedules. Georgetown has played Hutto and Cedar Park. Maynard has not.
Yeah.
So Georgetown gave Cedar Park a really good game. Only lost 27-24. A couple weeks ago. This will be a really good game. And, yeah, just another game I'm excited to see. Like,
and
all the
Hutto
games.
Played last night, destroyed someone.
Yeah, Troy Pflugerville.
Pflugerville at the field last night. So
Chase Griffin had 6 more touchdown passes.
And we're going to be hearing from Chase Griffin and you after this next break.
Yes.
Because you did he was our player of the week this week. So that's our new segment, I guess, player of the week.
Totes my goats, man. Totes my goats.
We'll do that after this break. It's the Friday Night Countdown, and we'll talk some more high school football and the Longhorns on the other side of your break. This is 1300 AM The Zone. We'll be right back, guys.
Go Roberts Power Wash is a proud sponsor of Texas high school football. Specializing in residential driveways, walkways, solar panels, pools, cars, boats, fences, gutters, and grills. Commercially, Go Roberts Power Wash also supports parking lots, sidewalks, patios, fences, roof gutters, marinas, boats, cars, and more. Visit online at GoRobertsPowerWash.com. That's GoRobertsPowerWash.com. Jason's Deli Westlake welcomes you every day at 3300 Bee Caves Road. It serves bigger choices of better food for all four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and football. Feeding school spirit, it's a family thing. Visit jasonsdeli.com.
Someday, you'll be chatting around a large granite island. Someday, you'll have that home with an open floor plan and an outdoor fireplace. Someday. Wait, why can't someday be today? At Dries Custom Homes, our sales event is here. Homes in the Austin area from $400,000 to $1 million. Visit DriesHomes.com.
The Friday Night Countdown is sponsored by Dirty Martin's Comeback Burgers on the Drag. Serving up great tasting burgers, fries, and shakes on the 40 acres since 1926. Come on by Saturdays for the game and check out our cold draft beers on tap and the selection from the full bar. If you bleed orange on Saturdays, bring the family on down to Dirty Martin's for a comeback burger and enjoy some hot onion rings or a frosty milkshake. That's Dirty Martin's on Guadalupe. A Longhorn tradition since 1926. Texas Sports Monthly is available in Austin at over 400 locations around town. With player profiles, coaches interviews, color action photos, in-depth coverage of high school, college, football, and the NFL. The largest free sports publication in Austin, Texas Sports Monthly gives you a closer look at the sports in Central Texas. While football is the main attraction on the menu this season, there's also coverage of local soccer, Texas volleyball, MMA, Austin Spurs basketball, baseball, water and motorsports, and action in the Big 12. Available at all Little Woodrow's, Twin Peaks, Third Base, Dirty Martin Burgers, Randall's Grocery, HEB, and most Thundercloud subs. Can't find a magazine? Read online at TexasSportsMonthly.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. All sports, all Texas, all month. That's Texas Sports Monthly.
Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine is proud to support Central Texas High School football. Dr. Kelso is a board-certified orthopedic surgeon who specializes in arthroscopic surgery, knees, and shoulders. He will keep you active and in the game. Book your appointment today. Call 512-339-0440.
The Friday Night Countdown on AM 1300 The Zone is sponsored by South Star Bank, offering mortgage and construction financing, commercial lending, and a full line of competitive deposit products. Learn more at southstarbank.com. Member FDIC.
1, 2, 3. AM 1300 The Zone. The Friday Night Countdown Player of the Week, brought to you by Texas Sports Monthly.
Hey, y'all, this is Steven Ryan. I got Hodo quarterback Chase Griffin with me today. Chase, one of the big surprises of the offseason in Austin area high school football was when Steven Van Meter stepped down as your head coach. How surprised were you when that went down, and what's it been like transitioning to Coach LaPlante? How does his approach differ from what y'all had before?
I mean, it was definitely surprising, but, you know, we sort of knew ahead of time that Coach Van was considering that he just had to do what he had to do. As far as Coach LaPlante coming in to his new role, you know, one great thing about it is I know on the offensive side, all of our terminology stayed the same, and we just got to keep on working as I'm progressing on the same plane versus going in a different direction as far as the offense. So that was definitely a blessing, and it worked out well. You know, the team's happy with Coach LaPlante, and our record shows that.
You're obviously a great quarterback, but you also have some excellent skill guys to throw to in Caleb Forrest, Chukwuma Nwabuku, Dujon Harrison, DJ Baptist. What can you say about this arsenal of weapons you have, and how much easier do they make your job?
Well, I mean, it's a quarterback doing the play in the offense where I get to get the ball to the playmakers. And when you have actual playmakers out there who are working not only on routes but in the blocking, you know, it really comes together as the high-octane offense that is tough to stop just because defense can't put their focus on any one person. So I've worked with D-Bay and Caleb and Chooks for a couple of years. So our chemistry, you know, is really good. And then we had some guys who were sophomores last year step up in the spring, and as juniors, they're having a great showing.
Like a lot of Texas towns, Hodo loves his high school football. What does it mean to you to don that Hippo jersey and lead this program on Friday nights?
I mean, it's a feeling that not many get, and you know, all that Friday night lights where the town buys into a team, where community shut down and everyone comes out and watches the game, that's true. And in one high school town like Hutto, where the whole community gets behind one mascot, one name, you know, it's a blessing to have the opportunity, especially in Central Texas, because not a lot of high schools get that chance.
Chase, good luck on Friday against Cedar Park and just the rest of the way.
The Friday Night Countdown Player of the Week, brought to you by Texas Sports Monthly. Let's get back to the AM 1300 The Zone Studios and your host, Russell Dowden.
All right, back to the Friday Night Countdown. Yeah, that's good stuff there with Chase, man.
Thank you. Yeah, Chase is an interesting kid. He has a lot of other interests outside of football, and I really like that.
He's got that interview, his expanded version of it, is in Texas Sports Monthly coming out next week. And just talking about the last question.
Pick up your Texas Sports Monthly if you want to see me and Chase Griffin talk about the global water crisis.
Yeah,
it's real!
Yeah, there's a segment on water conservation at the
apparently,
end.
Apparently, when he was younger, he wanted to study to study like biological engineering or something like that, and he wanted to come up with a foam that would desalinate water and turn the Gulf of Mexico into an aquifer. Because really, I watched a Netflix thing on the global. I'm freaked out now too, especially with what's going on in Austin right now.
Yeah, with the water,
we really are running out of water. So
I know that was so weird that that happened after, you know, that interview. Y'all were talking about that with all this water stuff, but really really sharp kid, Chase Griffin, man.
Yeah, so. Yeah. He I mean, he could run for president one day. He really could. I'm so serious. He's an interesting dude.
Well, he could be listening right now since they were off tonight.
And that's right. They played last night. Yeah, he was listening. What's up, Chase?
So they are now 8-0 in Hutto.
And they are looking. They got some state championship hopes. That team, are really something. They made Cedar Park look like nothing. Last
I know
week.
That was.
We
a
talked
song.
So much about that game. We talked so much about that game last week, and it was like Cedar Park's not just going to lay down. This game's not just going
to
be blowout.
It was 41-14 at the half.
It was over by the time we showed up.
When we got there, it was 20.
I saw
one to nothing.
I saw a DJ Baptist touchdown right as I was walking, and that made it 35-14. And just nothing. I mean,
it was a soggy, soggy game.
Chase is a special kid, man. He's a special kid,
and
you know?
He scored. I mean, they ended up 65.
Yeah, 65-21. You know, 65-21. What was the last time Cedar Park lost by that much? Has it ever happened?
Know.
I don't know if it's ever happened.
I don't know that when that article on TexasSportsMonthly.com today this week. You know,
let's talk about one last game. We got one more game, high school that we need to talk about. Dripping Springs at Seguin. This is District 5A, 12 District 5A 12 Division 1. The Tigers. Actually, we did briefly talk about this game at the very start. We didn't really get into it. Dripping Springs, they got a lot of offense, averaging 47.4 points per game. Their lowest point total of the season is 34. So they're going to score.
Oh, wow.
They score on everyone. Zimmerman's just did a Galen Zimmerman, their head coach, has done a fantastic job here. They were 8-22 in the 3 years before he took over as head coach. 34-9 since, looking for the third straight district title, which will be the first time in school history they've done that. He is 29-4 in the last 3 years. And the thing about Dripping Springs, too, is they lost a giant senior class last year. And the staying power is there. This is when you know you're a program and not just a good team. You know, when you can lose all these seniors and still be just as strong the following year. You know, earlier we were talking about Wimberley and how Wimberley lost a big senior class and how they're just not as good as this year. And now we've kind of stopped talking Wimberley because they're just not as good this year. You know, but Dripping Springs, they lost. They only had three returning starters on each side of the ball, and they just keep on ticking. Tanner Pruitt, the new quarterback, 1,486 yards and 16 touchdowns through the air, 489 yards and 9 touchdowns on the ground. Running back Jake Cox had 868 yards and 10 touchdowns rushing. And on the offensive line, Manny Unsumana, he's the guy. You got to credit the offensive line. Nothing gets done without the offensive line, Russell.
We know that.
Manny is the anchor on the offensive front. Defensively, they haven't been too great this year, but they did have three defensive touchdowns versus Lanier in their last game. So, you know, if they can get some scores out of the defense, that'll go a long way.
That's because my alma mater is horrible this year. Lanier High School. Once upon a time, not a bad program back in the days.
Once upon a time.
That's funny. That district is all weird now. You know, the powerhouses in my day was, you know, LBJ, Reagan, Lanier. Uh-huh. Those were the hot games on Friday night. Right. Anytime Lanier played Reagan, it was huge.
Most of those teams are playing up. McCallum is the only AISD school in that district that actually has Division I numbers. So LBJ and Lanier and Crockett, they're all playing up because AISD wants that district to stay together.
That's right.
They want all those schools to play each other. So they're also at a disadvantage there. Like, if they were in 5A Division II, maybe more of a chance. Kind of like how we're seeing with Bastrop playing a lot better this year in Cedar Creek.
And Leander Glenn and those guys.
Seguin, though, their program, I talked about Maynard coming into its own. Seguin, similarly, they were their head coach is Travis Bush in his third year. He's a former offensive coordinator for the University of Houston, actually. He was the OC under Tony Levine for a little while. He is the son of Bruce Bush, who we also mentioned earlier in the show, legendary Texas high school football coach. They were 2-8 in each of their first two seasons, but this year they are now 5-2, 4-0 in district, clinched their first playoff spot since 2006, but they want more. They want more, and they're going for it tonight against the Tigers. The big guy to watch out is their senior wide receiver, Hayden Haas. He has 35 catches for 656 yards and 10 touchdowns. Dripping Springs is going to need to find a way to keep him slowed down. Their quarterback, Anthony Gonzalez, is very efficient. He's completed 76.5% of his passes for 1,182 yards with 17 touchdowns and 2 picks. Guy just puts the ball where it needs to be. You know, he just runs the offense, does a great job. And really just saying he runs the offense is actually it's kind of disrespectful. He's a great quarterback. And at running back, they got Jacob Berkeley, who has 510 yards and 7 touchdowns. The defense is giving up just 6 points per game in district play. Seguin beat McCallum 61-14. Dripping Springs beat McCallum 37-30. Transitive Property says Seguin might be the favorite in
over
this game.
Over Tigers on that.
And they're playing at home, and that's a long trip.
They better bring that catfish with them from Dripping Springs over there.
And that's a road trip. Dripping Springs down Seguin. You know, we've talked about how I don't feel like home field advantage means much in high school football if there's not a long travel. Dripping Springs to Seguin, that's a schlep, okay?
Well, they're going to come across 12. They take 12 in to San Marcos and cut on over there to that side of the 35. And it'll be
that's at least an hour. That's at least an hour.
It's an hour bus ride.
Yeah. Seguin, the defense is 75 tackles for a loss, 7.5 sacks. Their two biggest havoc makers are senior defensive tackle Carson Jenkins and junior defensive end Chance Brewster. Jenkins has 15 tackles for a loss, 5 sacks. Brewster, 14 tackles for a loss, 3 sacks. Each of them have at least 2 tackles for a loss in their last 5 games. They've won 5 in a row, so they lost their first 2 games to Antonian Prep and New Braunfels by less than a touchdown, and they've won every game since by at least 21 points. So the Matadors got it going on, man. The Matadors. Got it going on.
Well, speaking of Matadors, let's turn to some Longhorn. What's going on with All right, what are our odds as Longhorn fans here in Austin for the Stillwater matchup?
Well, I think they got to be favorites. They got to be favorites. Oklahoma State is not one of the better Cowboy teams Mike Gundy has had. They've had three straight 10-win seasons, but doesn't look like they're not going to reach that mark this year. They've already lost three games.
I haven't seen a single OSU game myself.
Well, I saw them play Texas Tech, and we ran all over them.
Oh, really?
You know, so that's something. And then who are their other losses to? I'm blanking right now. I'd have to go look up their schedule. But they beat Boise State, and everyone thought that was a big win for them. You know, everyone thought that was like, okay, Oklahoma State is going to be legit this year. They are a team to be reckoned with. But since conference play started, they've been pretty underwhelming. They lost to Iowa State 48-42 and lost to Kansas State 31-12. And we've talked about how this is probably Bill Snyder's worst Wildcat team since he returned as head coach of the Wildcats. And, you know, Texas, though, they still have to come to play. Look, they're not good enough. They're just not that great yet, okay? They're 6-1, but they got a lot of close wins. They had to gut out a victory against Kansas State in Manhattan. Baylor gave them all they could handle a couple weeks ago, and Baylor got smacked by West Virginia last night, by the way.
Oh, God, that was awful.
They were down 41-0 at halftime. Baylor is back! That's what
Baylor is not bad.
Can we make a clip where we take Joe Tester's Texas's back call and make it Baylor is back, and whenever Baylor loses, because this is my Baylor, this is the Baylor of my childhood. Uh-huh. So in my head, Baylor is back to what I remember them as. Yeah,
they were back to being awful.
But Texas is going to have to play this game. You know, look, they haven't beaten Oklahoma State in 3 years, so even though they are the favorites, they shouldn't be that heavy of favorites.
I don't know. What's the spread on Texas for this one?
It's not much. It was three? It was single digits. Oh, yeah. It was single. It's not much. And, you know, I got a funny feeling. I'm going to make a weird prediction. I got a funny feeling this might be Mike Gundy's last season in Stillwater.
Oh, really?
You know, he's had a lot of success there, but it's no secret. And this is just a gut feeling. I got 1 minute. All right. This is a gut feeling. But, you know,
fourth and long.
It's no secret that he has a frosty relationship of sorts with his boss and his top donors. And just like Jimbo Fisher, no one thought Jimbo Fisher was going to leave last year at Florida State, but he didn't have the best relationship with his bosses. Right. He has a bad season. He says, bye-bye.
I'm 40!
Yeah. And so Gundy, you know, he doesn't have a great relationship with his boss and top donors. Things seem to be going down the tubes. He's interviewed for other jobs in the past. I don't know what's going to come open. You know, something will come open. Might be Mike Gundy's last year in Stillwater. I'm just saying it might be.
He's got rid of the. Did he still have the mullet?
No, he's not rocking the mullet.
He's not rocking the mullet.
We'll
so
see what Shane Buechele though for Texas. See what
all right,
he does.
Let's kick this thing over. Joe Taylor and that Westlake crew. They're up next, guys. Hayes at Westlake. Enjoy the games tonight. It's the Friday Night Countdown. We'll see you next week, guys.
Football.
Need your fix at home?
Yes!
Just say, Alexa, play AM 1300 The Zone on iHeartRadio.
Okay.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2929 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2929.
Jen's Mums is currently taking orders for your school's mums for homecoming and prom season. All of Jen's Mums are handmade to order. Custom garters start at $40. Single mums begin at $50. Doubles are just $75. And triples are $100. Visit Jen's Mums on Facebook today to complete your order. That's Jen's Mums on Facebook. Or call in your order today. That's 512-496-5510. That's 512-496-5510. Please allow 72 hours for most orders. Call or visit today.
Mr. Tramp's Sports Pub is your home away from the man cave. Join us on Saturdays for College Game Day. UT fans are welcome and receive a free appetizer on game day wearing Horns gear. Mr. Tramp's offers great food, huge screens with sound, daily specials, and the best happy hour in North Austin. Check out our NFL action all day on Sundays. And Cowboys fans, when you show up in blue and white with a party of two or more, you receive a free appetizer. Mr. Tramp's offers special event seating for hosting private events and team meetings for sports groups. We host watch parties for the Tennessee Titans, Dallas Cowboys, and our home of the world champion Philadelphia Eagles.
That's the Eagles Nest, Cowboys fans.
see you November 11th for the NFC matchup on Sunday Night Football.
Mr. Tramps is hosting a huge Halloween party this year. Come by Saturday, October 27th for great Halloween specials and live music from the B-Side Vandals. Dress up for all the fun and the best sports in North Austin. Mr. Tramps, where North Austin goes for sports. 8565 Research Boulevard at Fairfield Lane. Visit us online at MrTramps.com.
Start living rough in Rough Hollow, voted Austin's best master planned community 2 years in a row. Rough Hollow stretches along the Lake Travis shoreline and offers residents award-winning amenities, including access to a prestigious yacht club and marina. Featuring 22 unique neighborhoods and semi-custom and custom homes starting in the 300s. Rough Hollow makes it easy to find the home of your dreams in a lakeside community. Discover the rough life at roughhollowlakeway.com.
The Friday Night Countdown is sponsored by Absolute Propane, offering cylinder filling station, propane cylinder transportation, storage, and use. Absolute honesty, absolute integrity, absolute passion, absolute propane, and all that we do, that's Absolute Propane. Visit online at absolutepropane.com. Go Roberts Power Wash is a proud sponsor of Texas high school football. Specializing in residential driveways, walkways, solar panels, pools, cars, boats, fences, gutters, and grills. Commercially, Go Roberts Power Wash also supports parking lots, sidewalks, patios, fences, roof gutters, marinas, boats, cars, and more. Visit online at GoRobertsPowerWash.com. That's GoRobertsPowerWash.com.